السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس، لقد جاءت الشريعة الإسلامية بما يكفل للناس معايشهم دون ما شحناء بينهم، ولا حسد من بعضهم لبعض، ولا استثارة حفائظهم ما يحملهم على الحقد والثأر. ومن جملة ما قدمته الشريعة من حلول لتصحيح ما كان قائما من الضرر من بعض بني آدم على بعضهم البعض، ما جاء في قول الله تعالى: وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. والربا عباد الله قسمان: ربا المداينات، وهو ما يكون في القروض، وما يكون في البيوع الآجلة، وهو على نوعين، أحدهما الزيادة المشروطة في أصل القرض وهو الربا المعهود في مجمل صوره، وهو أن يرضه وهو أن يقرضه 1000 لشهر 1000 وزيادة، قلت هذه الزيادة أو كثرت، فإن الربا كالخمر لا يحل يسيره كما لا يحل كثيره. وأما النوع الثاني فهو الزيادة في الدين عند حلوله في حال عجز المدين عن السداد، كالذي يقع فيما يعرف اليوم ببطاقات التمويل كالفيزا والماستر كارد على سبيل المثال للحصر، فهذا ربا ولا يجوز تعاطيه ولا يجوز توقيع العقود عليه، وإن تذرع بأنه سوف يوفي قبل حلول الوقت فإنه تواطؤ على الربا وهو محرم شرعا. والقسم الآخر من الربا هو ربا البيوع، وهو أيضا نوعين، وهو أيضا نوعان، الأول ما يسمى بربا الفضل، وهو بيع المال الربوي بجنسه متفاضلا، كأن يبيع ذهبا بذهب ليس فيه تقابض في نفس الوقت، أو أن يكون تقابض بزيادة وزن، أو أن يبيع أو يشتري ذهبا بأجل أو بشيك أو دينا، أو أن يبقى بعض الثمن عند البائع أو عند المشتري، وذلك في أصناف وردت في حديث عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الذهب بالذهب والفضة بالفضة والتمر بالتمر والبر بالبر والشعير بالشعير مثلا بمثل سواء بسواء يدا بيد، فإذا اختلفت هذه الأصناف فبيعوا كيف شئتم إذا كان يدا بيد، أخرجه مسلم. وأما النوع الثاني من ربا البيوع فهو ما يعرف بربا النسيئة، وهو ما يكون سببه التأخير في سداد ثمن المبيع، فيقول البائع للمشتري: إما أن تنقذ وإما أن تربي. والفرق بين ربا الديون وربا البيوع هو أن ربا البيوع محرم تحريم الوسائل، أما ربا الديون فهو محرم تحريم المقاصد. وثانيا فإن ربا البيوع لا يكون إلا في الأصناف الستة المذكورة في حديث عبادة بن الصامت، أما ربا الديون فيكون في ذلك وغيره من الأموال. وبعد عباد الله، فإن تحايلا كبيرا يقع من الناس اليوم على ما حرم شرعا من مثل الربا الذي يحتال فيه الناس اليوم بما يطلقون عليه زورا وبهتانا بالتورق المشروع، حتى غدا أكثر الناس ضحية لمثل هذه المعاملات المحرمة، ما جلب على الأمة الويلات الاقتصادية تلو الويلات، في غير ما وعي من العامة أو بتجاهل من بعض من يعلمون حقيقة ما يدور في هكذا بيوع. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. عباد الله، لقد عاش الناس في الماضي القريب على شرف من العيش، لم يروعهم شيء من نقص الأموال ولا تغير الأحوال ولا تسلط الأعداء ولا انتشار الأدواء، فتوبوا إلى رشدكم وتوبوا إلى ربكم وانفروا عما حرم عليكم واستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الهادي ولا هادي سواه، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا وحبيبنا وسيدنا محمد رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد، عباد الله، فإن من قد وقع في الربا فعليه الفرار منه سريعا، وعليه ألا يأخذ منه إلا رأس ماله الذي دخل به، كما يقول الله عز وجل فإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. واعلموا عباد الله أن البيع أمر لا بد للبشرية منه، لذا فقد أباحه الله سبحانه وتعالى، غير أنه حذر من بعض ما قد يكون في البيوع فيجعلها محرمة على الناس، ومن جملة ذلك بيع النجس أو المتنجس من الأشياء كالخمر والخنزير والدم والميتة والأرواث والأزبال النجسة. ومن ذلكم أيضا بيع ما يكون فيه ضرر على البشرية كالدخان وغير ذلك، ومنه ما يكون فيه ممنوع شرعا كالأفلام والأغاني وما إلى ذلك، ومنه البيع بشرط لا يقتضيه العقد، فإذا شرط البائع شرطا لا يقتضيه العقد فالبيع فاسد، كمن يقول لآخر أبيعك هذه الدار بشرط أن تبيعني فرسك، أو بعتك هذا البستان بشرط أن لا تبيعه لأحد. ومن ذلكم أيضا بيع ما لا يملكه أو ما ليس عنده، وذلك لعدم قدرته على تسليمه، لحديث حكيم بن حزام رضي الله تعالى عنه إذ قال: نهاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أبيع ما ليس عندي، أخرجه أبو داود والترمذي. ومنها بيع الشيء قبل قبضه، وهو ما يعرف ببيع الغرر، وبيع الغرر غير جائز، لحديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنه نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يباع الطعام حتى يقبض. قال ابن عباس: ولا أحسب كل شيء إلا مثله، أخرجه البخاري. ومن هذا الشيء الذي هو مثله مما عناه ابن عباس ما يعرف اليوم بالتأمين التجاري طبيا كان أو غير ذلك، فإنه محرم، ولو دجل أصحابه على الناس بقولهم إنه من جنس التأمين التعاوني، فإن التأمين التعاوني قائم على جمع تبرعات تجمع في صندوق لدفع ضرر عن فقير أو سد حاجة محتاج. أما ما يألفه الناس اليوم فهو عين التأمين التجاري المحض، فإن أكره الإنسان على الدخول فيه فإنه لا شيء عليه غير أنه لا يجوز له الاستفادة منه، فإن استفاد منه فهو مشارك في الإثم راض به. ومن هذه البيوع المحرمة بيع النجش، وهو الزيادة في السعر مع عدم الرغبة في شراء السلعة، وذلك ليخدع ويغر الآخرين، فهو إما أن ينجس لصالح البائع إن كان صديقا له ليرفع ثومة سلعته، أو أن ينجس لصالح المشتري فيبخس ثمن السلعة. وقد نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك كما في حديث ابن عمر عند الشيخين رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما: نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن النجش. قال البخاري: وقال ابن أبي أوفى: الناجش آكل ربا خائن، وهو خداع باطل لا يحل. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الخديعة في النار. ومن هذه البيوع المحرمة بيع التماثيل المجسمة إذا كانت لذي روح من إنسان أو حيوان غير الدمى التي يلعب بها الأطفال، فالإسلام دين التوحيد، وقد جاء بتحطيم الأوثان والأصنام ومنع من اقتنائها حماية لعقيدة التوحيد، وكل ما يحرم اقتناؤه يحرم بيعه، لحديث الترمذي: إن الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا فيه تماثيل أو صورة. وكذا ما رواه البخاري عن سعيد بن أبي الحسن رضي الله عنه قال: كنت عند ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما إذ أتاه رجل فقال: يا أبا العباس، إني إنسان، إنما معيشتي من صنع يدي، وإني أصنع هذه التصاوير. فقال ابن عباس: لا أحدثك إلا بما سمعت، لا أحدثك إلا بما سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، سمعته يقول: من صور صورة فإن الله معذبه حتى ينفخ فيها الروح وليس بنافخ فيها أبدا، أي لا يستطيع إحياءها أبدا. فرب الرجل أي انتفخ، فرب الرجل أي انتفخ روعة شديدة واصفر وجهه. فقال له ابن عباس: ويحك، إن أبيت إلا أن تصنع فعليك بهذا الشجر، وكل شيء ليس به روح. أخرجه البخاري في صحيحه في باب بيع التصاوير. وظاهر النص أن الحرمة إنما هي في صنع ما كان باليد ذي روح، وأما التصوير بالآلة ففيه خلاف بين الفقهاء. ومن هذه البيوع المحرمة ما يعرف بالبيع على بيع أخيه، فيأتي إنسان فيعرض سعرا على بضاعة علم أن أخاه قد دفع فيها أقل من ذلك ورضي منه البائع أو أوشك، أو أن يغالي في سعر بضاعة لصرف يد أخيه عنها، كل ذلك محرم. ومن البيوع التي اختلف في تحريمها ما يعرف ببيع العربون، وصورته أن يشتري شيئا ثم يدفع جزءا من الثمن كعربون إلى البائع، فإن أمضى البيع دفع بقية الثمن، وإن رد المبيع كان هذا العربون من حق البائع لا يرده للمشتري. وهذا النوع من البيوع مختلف فيه. قال صاحب المغني: والعربون أن يشتري السلعة فيدفع إلى البائع درهما أو غيره علة أنه إن أخذ السلعة احتسب الدرهم من الثمن، وإن لم يأخذها فذلك للبائع. قال أحمد: لا بأس به. وفعله عمر رضي الله عنه، وعن ابن عمر أنه أجازه، وقال ابن سيرين: لا بأس به. وقد ذهب مالك والشافعي وأصحاب الرأي إلى أنه لا يصح، ويروى ذلك عن ابن عباس والحسن، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع العربون، رواه ابن ماجه. فعلى الإنسان أن يتوخى الحلال، فإن كل جسد نبت من سح، فالنار أولى به، وإنه لن تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع: منها عن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه. فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى، واعلموا أن أجسادكم على النار لا تقوى. واعلموا عباد الله أن الله عز وجل قد أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه، وثنى به ملائكته المسبحين بقدسه، وثلث بكم وأيها أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه. فقال عز من قائل عليم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. فاللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وأنعم على نبينا وحبيبنا وسيدنا وقرة عيوننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، صاحب الحوض المورود والمقام المحمود. اللهم ارزقنا شفاعته يوم القيامة، وارزقنا اتباع سنته في الحياة الدنيا، وارزقنا صحبته في جنات النعيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالأمر بالعدل، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
تصلى نارا حامية
الصبر ونمارك الصوف وزرابي ممدوده افلا ينظرون الى الابل كيف خلقت والى السماء كيف رفعت والى الجبال كيف نصبت والى الارض كيف صفحت فذكر انما انت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر الا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الاكبر ان الينا ثيابهم ثم ان علينا حسابهم الله اكبر الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أحبتي في الله أمر أول عندنا إعلان الإسلام والثاني إعلان اجتماعي وصحي نبدأ من هذا الثاني سيكون إن شاء الله تعالى ناقش قريب بشأن الخاص في مصلى النساء الساعة الخامسة عشر ليلة من يوم السبت غدا العاشر لماذا تدعم الموضوع عام 30 لمدة أسبوع للأطفال من السنة الأولى للسنة الخامسة ولا يسمح ولا يسمح دخول النساء تصحيح مروي يعني من الفرق في البلد ناقل كثير الإكتراشن أوف ستاف أند أوسو أنونسمنت أوف فاكسينيشن Therapy and OPC, OPC or polio vaccine for the children from 1 year to 5 years. And this will be for 5 PM from tomorrow, Saturday, a 24th of 2010, for 1 week. In the next section of this mosque, and it is only allowed for men and for women to enter. Men are not allowed to enter there. وَتَعَالَى شَرَّ تَعَالَى مَعَ إِعْلَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَخَوَيْهِ مِنْ الْبَاتِ الْبِيْرِ الْعَلِيرِ الْمُحَاوَرَ الْجِدَّةِ مَدْعُوكُمْ لِحُضُورِ إِعْلَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَشُهُودِكُمْ لِذَلِكَ الْأَجَابُ الْسَّابِ تَكُنُونَ شُهُودُ اللَّهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ brothers, we ask you now to witness the two declarations of Islam of two brothers from the Filipino brothers who are working here in this inshallah. Brothers, with you, sister, what's your name?
Abdullah.
Before
carrying.
Yes.
Meeting and adolescent boy in Abdullah.
Abdullah. Abdullah has already learned about Islam, and inshallah now we are going to declare it publicly before you so you witness that Islam, inshallah, ta'ala. And you give them their life as Muslims from now on, inshallah, whatever you see them. Right. Now, both of you, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman, will repeat that in Arabic, and then I'll tell you what to say in English.
لشيء أشهد
أن
لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله وأشهد أن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه وأن الجنة حق وأن النار حق وأن
الله
يبعث من في القبور justify that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and the Rasul that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and as the Rasul that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and the Rasul that Jesus is a slave of Allah, a Messenger of Allah, and a word from Allah, that he distorts from Mary, Maryam, and he is only a soul that Allah created from one's soul. And the Rasul that the Father is true, the Father is true, and that Allah will resurrect everyone from the children of Adam, from their grave, from the day of death. A rule, congratulations for yourself.
Dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله to the translation of this khutbah of today, which is titled by the fiqh of business transaction. We began the khutbah by khutbah of Hajj al-Yuhil, and then we said
كامل
نعم سوري برادر. مش لا ما حد يسوى لا مش أبغى راجع بس. هي الإقامة. We said, all people, verily the Sharia of Islam came with what guarantees for people their convenient life without any hatred or envy from one another, nor that any one of them will be carrying any hatred or will to revenge. And one of the solutions that the Sharia of Islam brought to correct the existence defect of the transactions before Islam and the harm that happens or that occurs from one of the children of Adam to another is what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah ayah 75, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And Allah Ta'ala made bay', which is business, lawful, and riba, the wrong investment, unlawful. The riba is of two types or two categories. One is called the riba al-mudayanat, riba and debts and giving loans. And this usually happens in loans and in business which is installments or not in cash. And this type of riba, the riba of loan is also of two types. One is the extra money that a condition made for from the beginning, which is the normal riba in most of the cases. And the example of it is that one comes and asks for a loan from someone else for 1,000 riyals, for example. Then the owner of the money would say to the one who claim for loan, I will give you the 1,000, but with the condition that you pay me back 1,000 and something. Whether this extra money, small or big, no difference, as the riba is like the khamr, the wine. The little of it is as haram, as unlawful, as the much of it. A drop of khamr is haram. Same as a bottle of khamr. One cent of riba is haram as $1,000 or riyals or whatsoever of riba is haram. The second type of the riba in loans is the riba that is made at the time of claiming the loan. The time that is agreed upon to repay the loan, and when the one who's in debt is unable to pay back, then this is as known by the Visa card or MasterCard or the like. This is all examples. This type of riba is not permissible to deal with it, nor that it is permissible to have the contract agreed, even though the client may say that I know that I'm 100% sure and that I'm not going to
be in that situation where the bank or the company will claim extra money, because they say 45 days, after 45 days you have to pay extra money. The agreement itself is haram and the contract is false, because this is an agreement on doing something unlawful in the Sharia of Islam, which is the wrong investment, and it is haram. The other type of, we said that this type or this category is called the riba in loans or debts. And the other one is called the riba in business. The riba in business or business transactions. And it is also of two types. One which is called in Arabic riba al-fadl. And it is to sell something, to sell a wealth which is considered to be from the wealth that riba can be found in. And these are six things as in the hadith of Ubad ibn Samit, which is reported by Imam Muslim. Six things. He says, الذهب بالذهب, gold with gold. الفضة بالفضة, والفضة بالفضة, silver with silver. والتمر بالتمر, dates with dates. والبر بالبر, ايش يقولون البر؟ The wheat with wheat. And الشعير بالشعير, the van with van, van with van, مثلا بمثل, exact in the same amount, same quality. يدا بيد, must be one hand to one hand, to one hand. فإذا اختلفت هذه الأصنام فبيعوا كيف شئتم إذا كان يدا بيد. And when these things come different, يعني if gold is different from gold, يعني gold with money, or not money, gold with these seven must not be with each other. These six times they are prohibited to have extra money, sorry, extra in weight, or extra in price, or delay. Or a delay, even for 1 minute, delay of payment is haram. This is the first type, which is called riba al-fadl. Fadl means extra. Fadl means ziyada, extra. So you are not allowed to take extra weight of it, if it is gold with gold, silver with silver, date with date. You are not allowed to take extra amount. Yani you go to the smith shop and you say, I have this ring of gold and I want to exchange it with another. Here must be the same way and must be in one time. Must be the same way and same time. Maybe the value is different. Maybe this silver, this ring is something can all and people and take it as antique or something like that, then no problem if it is the same weight and in the same time. But to delay or to get extra or less weight, that is not permissible. The second type is in the transaction of business, yani the riba which can be seen in business transaction, is called riba al-nasi'a. And nasi'a means the delay. This is found when you buy something, you buy a car for example, which is not from the sixth, okay? You buy a car and you say, I'll pay you the money within 3 months. So the 3 months is over. Now the owner comes to you and he says, you either pay me the price of the car, or if you want to delay, you will have to pay extra money. This is called riba al-nasi'a, and this is not permissible. It is prohibited. The
The difference between the two types of the two categories of river, which we call this river Diyun, the river found in deserts or lawns, and the other river, which is the river found in business transactions, is that the river which is found in business transactions is called forbidden because of that it leads to the other river, which is the original river, as in the Sharia, which is river Ad-Diyun, river the river in lawns. Because originally the river is only found in lawn. You lend someone some money, and then you take it, you get it back with extra money. That is clear river, no doubt in it. The river in business transaction is not exactly the same, but it will lead to it. It will lead to it. That's why the Sharia came to forbid the origin of it and to anything that can lead to it as a protection from the river. The second difference is that river viewer can only be seen in the six types you mentioned: gold, silver, date, wheat, barley, and the salt. So these three, and some other hadith made it seven, as in the rises. Zabib. So these are the types of river. And then I say, verily, O slaves of Allah, there is a big trick happening today to make the unlawful thing in the Sharia of Islam lawful before the people, as what they call it today, tawarruq. While it is not tawarruq. Tawarruq is permissible. And tawarruq is to go and buy a merchandise that you don't want. You buy a car, but you are not in need for a car. You want to buy it from the agent, and you go and sell it in the market in order to get the money and get use of the money only. You didn't need the car at all. This is called tawarruq. Tawarruq is permissible. It's permissible. But what's happening today in most of the cases, it's not tawarruq. It's only a threat to do the riba itself. They don't give you any merchandise. They say, okay, you want 100,000 riyals? Right. We don't give money. And you are wondering that these same banks are the same banks that gives riba. But now they say, if you want, yani we don't give money, we give you any goods, any merchandise. Right? And then they tell you, for example, we sell minerals or steel or cement or rice. And then they say, okay, the 100,000 riyals will make this size, this number of sacks of rice, let's say maybe 40,000 sacks of rice. And then they, because they know that you are not able to take 40,000 sacks of rice, they tell you, if you want, you can take them now. You can take them and you go and sell them. Or you yani authorize us to sell it on behalf of you. And it is only paperwork. That's it. Nothing else. And some of them really have, they own the right, but this right has never been sold. Or they have an agreement with some businessmen who sell rice, and then they have an agreement, they give them percentage to just get and allow them to get use of his rice, and we're sending people to see the rice. All this is not correct. All this is not correct. And even the ulama who permitted this, or you see their signatures on the banks, as they say that we have a committee from the Sharia wise, and they have signed here all the signatures for name on the original form of the tawarruq, which is permissible, no doubt. But they did not sign for what's happening on the ground. And one of them, Sheikh Abdullah bin Muniyah, I hear them saying that although we authenticate the transactions of the tawarruq that the banks shown us, yet we are not taking the responsibility of implementing it as the customer, the client needs to go himself and make sure that this is what's happening on the ground. Meaning that there is really a merchandise of those that they sell on behalf of you. It's not only a kind of, you know, cheating and deceiving. And by chasing many cases, I myself found that it's only a kind of cheating and deceiving. They just say something, but they do something different. So that's why we say everyone is responsible of this. You cannot say this is the alim who said it, I just take it and he's responsible. No, Allah will question you as he's going to question him. And as these ulama already declared, said that we signed only for what being affirmed to us, but we are not responsible of the implementation on the ground. Everyone is responsible of his case. This was the first khutbah. The second khutbah, we began by praising Allah Ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family and companions and those who follow him. And then he says, if anybody is already in the middle of a riba transaction, he must know that now he only can have his capital, that's it. And he got to get out of it. Now, this is, he's able to come out of it. As for many people, they go get loans from the banks knowing that it is riba. And once they get the money, they don't pay back. And they say, this is riba. I will not pay you the riba. Subhanallah. They did not know that it is riba, they knew. But now they just want to, this is riba, and now they steal and cheat. So this is haram. If you are able to get only your capital, then you take your capital and leave the extra as it is riba, which is not permissible in Islam. It's not permissible in Islam. And then I mentioned a number of transactions which being in the market today from what the Sharia already clarified that these are not permissible. The life of selling anything which is impure, like selling the khamr, or the pig, or ham, or blood, or dead animals, or whatsoever dirty, and I forgot to mention the dog as well. Dogs, we are not allowed to sell these things. From these transactions, which are not also permissible, is what is called a transaction with the condition that the contract is not making it obligatory. Meaning, you sell a house with the condition that the buyer sells you or gives you his house or car or whatsoever, or land, or this transaction is not permissible, haram, or this condition is not applicable, is not valid. Not clear? Okay. You have a house, and someone came to buy it. You said to him, I'll sell this house to you with 100,000 dirhams, but with a condition that you leave your car for me, or you only sell it to me. This condition is not valid. It's not valid. Even if he signs with you a contract and that he has the right to stay after he owns the house, I'm not going to give you the car. I'm not going to sell the car to you. Or condition to say, I'll sell this house to you with the condition that you only sell it to me if you want to sell it. This condition is not valid. It's not valid. He can't buy the house from you, and once he owns it, he can't sell it to anyone. Even if you raise this condition to the court will drop the case. Because this is not permissible in Islam. Because usually, everyone buys anything, he only buys it to have the power over, meaning he can do whatever he wants with it. He sells it to whomever he wants, he just can demolish it or whatsoever. The third type of non-permissible transactions is to sell something you don't own, or you own but it's not in your hand. Not in your hand. Such as, okay, you sell something you don't own, some customer come to you and say, and this happens a lot in the market. You have a shop, a grocery shop, and someone come and he wants to buy, let's say, pineapple. You don't have pineapple. You say, okay, yeah, we have it. We can get it for 2 years there, can. But you don't have it. You don't have it. What happens sometimes is he calls his other colleague and other grocery shop and say, look, I want 2-3 tins of pineapple. The man says, okay, 2.5. He wants to have profit, so even with 2 is not good for him. So why 2.5? Oh, the price cannot. Because he never had any, so he does not know the price. Then he tells the man, the customer, look, it is for 3 years. How come you just told me 2 years? I'm sorry. The price gone up. You know? Or, he will not find it. And then they say, sorry, I thought it's in the store, but there is nothing in the store. All these, non-permissible, haram. You have to be clear. You have to be clear. If you own it, you can't sell it. If you don't own it, you cannot sell nothing you don't own. And the other type is, you say, for example, you own a ship full of merchandise coming from India to Jeddah. You cannot sell nothing of it until it is in the port here in Jeddah. Because you don't know that it may be the ship drowned in the middle of the ocean. So you cannot sell it until you have it. Although you already own it, but it's there. You don't know where it is. You cannot guarantee that it comes safe. So you cannot sell nothing of it until it comes. Now? Bay'a salam? Bay'a salam, not for everything. Bay'a salam will come to some other biyu'. Bay'a salam, bay'a khas, bay'a salam, inshallah, on the next Friday. Because these biyu' are only permissible in some cases, not generally. So inshallah we'll come to that on the next Friday. This is prohibited from the hadith of Hakim ibn Hizam, which is reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, where he said that نهاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أبيع ما ليس عندي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbid me to sell whatsoever I don't have or it's not with me. Selling something before you have it, own it. Meaning, you buy today something from Faisal, And he promised you that tomorrow they're going to deliver it to you, to yourself. Then Daul comes and he says, Muhammad, I want to buy this thing from you. He said, okay, you already bought it, true, but you haven't yet taken it, transferred it. You still cannot sell it. Why? Because anything can happen to it on the way or yani, in the store. So you cannot sell it until you have it. The belief for that is what Imam Bukhari reported on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said that the Prophet ﷺ forbidden that the food or the wheat or barley or whatsoever is sold before it is delivered and it's enhanced. Ibn Abbas said, not only food, look to that, it's in Bukhari. Not only food, it is everything. You cannot sell until you have it in your hand, delivered to your store. You really now completely honest. What's happening today on the market is totally different from that. Totally different from that. Many big corruptions happening in the market today. Only piece of paper. Only piece of paper. Give this amount of barley or wheat or whatsoever to the 1 ton or 2 tons of wheat. Then the old goes and sells this paper to Faisal. He got it for 0.5 halalas and he sells for 0.10 halalas. So he earns 5 halalas in a fraction of a second without even seeing this wheat, if it is good or bad, if it is same weight as safe or less. So you cannot sell something you don't have it, you don't own it. Even if you own it, you have to have it delivered to you on stores. And from these transactions which are prohibited, something called an-najash. An-najash is to just increase the price of a merchandise without the willing of buying it. You are not intending to buy it. Only because the owner of it is your friend, for example. The owner is your friend. So you, and the auction, this happens mostly in the auction. But it can happen in the normal market as well. He comes and says, for example, they say, 10 riyals. Faisal say 11. Then Dawood say 12. Dawood doesn't want to buy, but Dawood is my friend. So he say 12. Faisal wants this, say 13. Dawood say 14. Faisal say 15. It does not work more than 11. And now it's become a kind of challenge, or because Faisal badly needs it. So this is haram. This is haram. Or maybe he just wants to increase it because he doesn't like Faisal. He doesn't know me, the owner. But he doesn't like Faisal. So he increases the price. And that is also haram. This is called bay' al-najash. As in the two sahih Bukhari and Muslim and the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid the najash. And Bukhari said that Ibn Abi Awfa said, An-Najishu Akilu Riba. Kha'in. An-Najish, the one who increases the price without having the intention to buy, is someone who eats riba. Although he didn't have anything from this kind of transaction. He did not have anything. He just increased the price and go. Then he is akilu riba, he has eaten riba, and he is kha'in. Kha'in means someone who deceives the Muslims. Even non-Muslims, it's not allowed, even with the non-Muslims. By the way, not only the Muslims, no, usually the Muslims deal with everyone, not based on what those people are, But usually you deal with the other based on what you are. You are a Muslim. You have always to be good, honest, and clear and straight. No deception, and as in the hadith, the Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said in Fath al-Bari, deception is in the fire. And also from these things that is prohibited to sell is the statues. For anything that has a soul, like mankind or animals, small like ants or big like elephants, all prohibited, because this leads to the association. And if you see today, if you look to the Christians, they ask statues of Mary and Jesus and this and that. If you look to the Hindus, the Buddhists, everyone has. So, they worship them. These things, yani having them, this leads to the shirk, the association. And Islam, as well as every other religion, came from the heavens on the original form of it, calls to the oneness of Allah, in His Lordship, and His Godhood, and His names and attributes. So no association. And in the hadith, and Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily the angel would not get into a house which has statues or pictures, meaning pictures, the parents, or even the picture, the photograph. Photograph has different opinions on it. Is photograph allowed or not? And photographing, is it dealt as the hadith say surah or not? Different opinions. What I myself found from amongst the scholars, or the saying to the scholars, more trouble in this issue is that it is not included in the warning, as the photographs and video taping, these are different from the surah which is mentioned in the hadith, right? But this in regard to the one who takes the photo. However, hanging these photos on walls takes the same ruling of hanging any other paintings or statues appearances. Because this will also prevent the angels from coming into the house. And these angels are not any angels. These angels are only the angels of mercy and protection. We have angels for mercy, that brings mercy to you and your house, your family, and angels of protection, which protect you from the jinn. So, by hanging these pictures or paintings or statues, you will prevent yourself and your house from the protection. And you offer a good chance for them to accuse you and your family. As in the hadith reported by Bukhari and the Turk of Sa'id ibn Abi al-Hasan, who said, I was by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when a man came to him and said, O father of Al-Abbas, verily, and someone has no work other than making these paintings and statues. He, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, said to the man, shall I not tell you what I hear from Rasulullah? I hear him saying, whoever makes a painting or statue, verily Allah is going to torture and punish him up until he blew salt into these pictures or paintings or statues, which he's not going to be able to. No one is able to give the salt to anything, but Allah alone who gives the salt and takes the salt away. So the man was scared and his face turned yellow. Ibn Abbas says to him, woe to you, if you still insist to do this, then look to these trees. You can do painting of trees and do painting for whatsoever has no soul, meaning not animal, insect, nor mankind. So you don't make a drawing of anything that has a soul. And this is reported by Bukhari in the Sahih and the book of business transactions, chapter the selling the paintings and accessories. The last type of non-permissible business of the business transaction is what they call bay' al-arbun. And an arbun is the amount of money you give as a customer, you give to the owner or the representative of the owner, saying that, okay, you want to buy a house, and they say to you, the house is for 100,000. You say, okay, now I don't have the 100,000, but take this 1,000 riyals as a deposit, and I'll go and study the case and collect the money, and I'll come to you within 2 days. Right? In these 2 days, you cannot sell it to no one until you finish with the first one. Right? If these 2 days pass, now some ulama say that this one is halal, is permissible for the owner. He must not return it back to the client. For that the client has held this house or whatever merchandise offered for selling for 2 days. Maybe that owner now in these 2 days could have a better sell to it. Right? But he held it in your name. So as we said, some of the ulama said this is permissible. The life of Imam Ahmad and Umar ibn Khattab, as well as Ibn Umar and Ibn Sirin. But some others said, no, it is not permissible. He must return the money back to the client if the client doesn't want to buy the house or unable to complete the money. And from those ulama who said it is not permissible is Imam Malik, Shafi'i, and Ashab al-Ra'i. And it is also reported from Ibn Abbas and al-Hasan that the Prophet ﷺ said that the Prophet ﷺ forbid bay' al-arbun, meaning what do you call the arbun? Huh? The deposit. Okay. The deposit on the business transaction. And reported by Ibn Majah, but as I remember, the hadith is not authentic. But anyway, there are two different opinions. We always teach the people the principle of how to come safe. As in the hadith of Al-Nu'man ibn Bashir, the lawful things are clear and the unlawful are clear. And in between, something which is doubtful. So you avoid the doubtful and go to one of the two sides. If it is clear, lawful, you take it. If it is clear and lawful, you avoid it. If it is doubtful, you avoid it. You avoid it. So as long as there are different opinions in that, don't get into this type of business transaction. And by that we end up the khutbah of today. Inshallah we continue explaining more of the business transactions which are partially permissible and
and partially not permissible will be inshallah next Friday. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala rasulih.